Did you actually write this poem on this wall?
I didn't write. Oh, I wouldn't deface anything. Mm-hmm. And so I copied, uh-huh. copied that.
For yourself?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The second week when I was in Boise, Idaho, mm-hmm. a check came from World Tomorrow, $25. Mm-hmm. I jumped up and down, and my host and hostess were very happy. Mm-hmm. And that's the largest, I mean, the first earned money in America.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that was very encouraging, mm-hmm. and maybe that has encouraged me in writing while as a graduate student mm-hmm. in Boston and Cambridge.
Mm-hmm. So actually, when you first came, you had the
Boston University and the Harvard University acceptance uh-huh. as a graduate student.
Uh-huh. How did you get all the money to pay the trip and?
Well, in Peking, I tutored in three families. Mm-hmm. That's the first income. Mm-hmm. The second income, I exported things to American friends like the Rones. Mm-hmm. And they guaranteed, they said, you use one Chinese dollar, when you come, we'll give you an American dollar. Mm-hmm. At that time, the rate of exchange is 240 or 250 Chinese money for one US dollar. Mm-hmm. So I often say, I spend one American dollar, it hurts me twice or more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. Another one is toward the college sophomore or days, I met an American lady. Mm-hmm. We became very good friends. Mm-hmm. Then she was teaching in high school, I was in college. Mm-hmm. So we see each other practically every day. Mm-hmm. Then we organized a small, not company, but a small way to help Chinese women mm-hmm. who are skilled to do cross-stitch work. Mm-hmm. So there were 17 women working in a family with a Chinese lady, more intelligent, more trained to be the manager. And then later, other real big firms complained, say, you pay those workers so much, most people want to leave our place to join you. I said, we don't take more than 17, mm-hmm. and you should raise your wages. That's one of my. From childhood, I see the discrepancy of income of different levels of work. Those who work the hardest and poorest earn the least. Mm. I said this, I didn't, even communism began to penetrate during the student movement, but I didn't say that will help China, but it's really a fair wages would be necessary. Incidentally, may I refer to myself again. I, with other students, agitated for prison reform. Mm-hmm. And I have pictures still at the second model prison where they give the prison not just chained to the chairs, to the bed, but they learn a trade. So when they get up, they will have something to do mm-hmm. and earn a living. And also religious freedom, Catholic, Buddhist, and Protestant can on Sunday by turn to give lectures. Mm-hmm. And also they have chances to see their family members at certain time. This is unusual, it's new, but I feel that had played a tiny part. So the later in my college days, I lectured to Chinese armed forces, chiefly the soldiers of General Feng Yixiang. And three lectures I gave, I felt happy. One is the Revolution of America. Second, the French Revolution. The third, unification of Italy. Mm-hmm. So I told about the Italian 500 red shirts. Mm-hmm. And they organized a group, 500 volunteers.
Oh.
So for unification of China. And I, when I went there, usually General Shi Yosan was my friend and stayed with him. And then a number of the top generals later became contestors or whatever is the term with Chiang Kai-shek. So off with him, on with him, and also the young marshal, Zhang Xueliang. Zhang Xueliang's childhood friend was a friend of mine, took me around through southern Manchuria, especially to toward Korea, so as to know the Anshan Ironworks steel, and also to Zhang Xueliang's home, and then to the border of Andong on China's side, Xinyizhou on Korean side, then went back. I was fortunate, wasn't caught there in September 18th, 1931. That's known to every Chinese, that is, Japanese penetration occupation of Manchuria. 9/18/1931. So I went back to Shanghai. So that was my experience with the in southern Manchuria.
And so you came here in 1928 to go to school.
But the 26.
26.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1926. Yes.
Yes.
To go to school Boston University.
Boston first.
First.
Yeah.
Study.
History of philosophy under a good man, Edgar Brinkman. That year, the international philosophers had a conference, a congress held in Cambridge, and I was not qualified to be a full member, so I was an associate member. So the International Congress of Philosophy. And then the daughter of the American poet Henry W. Longfellow's daughter, Alice, entertained the foreign delegates. I was among them. And she perchance asked anyone knows about Henry W. Longfellow. And I raised my hand, and then she asked, what poem do you know? So I recited two or three. And she said, oh, good. So she was pleased. And that's in September, the end of September. Then later, she sent me an invitation for Thanksgiving dinner. That's the first time, first opportunity to meet formally. She said, Han, you have to get a tuxedo. It's formal with other guests. So I did. I could not tie the tie because no elastic modern recent years. So I called the taxi early. I went to the street to meet him. I said, will you please tie my tie? Oh, he laughed, almost bent over. So he did. And then he took me to Miss Alice Longfellow's home. At dinner time, again, I felt elated, at the same time a little embarrassed to recite the Psalm of Life, Village Blacksmith, Children's Hour, and so on. And then the dinner was quite finished quite late. She said, Han, I'll ask you to stay, and tomorrow morning I'll take you to the Village Blacksmith spot. And I'm 81, so no problem. I didn't understand that. So the next day, I went back to school, to the dormitory. The fellow say, Han, you didn't come back. What happened? I said, I was asked to stay. What did the hostess say? I said, I didn't understand. I just bowed. She said, I'm 81, no problem. all the fellows laughed, and one went over the chair. So now I learned, I told the story, even last night at the Wuling restaurant,
uh-huh.
came home.
Uh-huh.
The three generation I know, owner of this Wuling restaurant. The second generation was there, Lord Rayton,
mm-hmm.
and the first one, I don't remember her name, mm-hmm. the third generation Wellesley graduate,
uh-huh.
Jennifer. And we came home, so the young people said, "Oh, hon, they're friendly to you, no problem, we understand, no problem, no problem." So they learned the term, no problem, so I learned that. Then 2 years later, Alice Longfellow passed away. I still have in my diary the paper clippings and the poem I wrote in Chinese, how I appreciate the Thanksgiving dinner, the first one in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the one of the happy occasions.
Mm-hmm. And then how many years were you?
I was there in Boston and Cambridge 3 years.
3 years.
3 years. Part of the time I began to teach in the college extension.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me a good income, reasonable, and
what did
also
you teach?
Paper. Teach. I teach history of China and modern Far Eastern problems.
Mm-hmm.
Problems of the Far East, modern history of China.
Mm-hmm.
Then I taught also summer session. Mm-hmm. One, I taught history of Chinese art, one course. That's my hobby.
So you were self-support,
self-support.
Through all the years.
And you see, I lectured through the churches and clubs and wrote for money. I wrote to USC among my first publications,
mm-hmm.
and I got good return from that. That encouraged me. Then I met a retired professor from Harvard University. Oh, helped me greatly, and corrected my poems or essays, and encouraged me greatly. So that's one of the happy occasions. Then my fiancée was came from China through Europe, and began to work for her master's degree in literary criticism.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote Eugene O'Neill, The Man and His World. We didn't realize all the publications of Eugene O'Neill at that time was first edition.
Mm-hmm.
So just about 8 years ago, we gave that first edition to Waseda University, Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
because my friend, Dr. Ichiro Nishizaki, professor of English and Western Literature.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Ichiro Nishizaki taught UCLA 3 semesters. So we became very good intimate friends. And his daughter Keiko, just like our daughter. And his son-in-law came here, the greatest cyclotron authority and atomic energy. Unfortunately, his work killed him in Tokyo. He stayed with us. So Keiko is still a widow. And last year, for Christmas, she sent me rare books, calligraphy by Daisego, before Professor Ichiro gave me Okubo, a collection of Okubo's work. So my Japanese student who wrote his PhD dissertation on Okubo, and published by UC Press. So this is the two great leaders. One was for modernization, restoration of the emperor, 1866, 67, 68, succeeded. Daisego opposed it, and so he was put in prison, defeated. But later, Okubo helped not to punish him too severely, just about 5 years ago, Daisego was exonerated and his monument again in a temple shrine.
Mm.
And my friend Dr. Ichiro Nishizaki, he said, standing under the statue restored for Daisego, I salute you and I send you the photograph of this monument. Mm-hmm. So there was another happy occasion with a country who we had become enemies, China, Japan, but mutually we have many friends. Mm-hmm. We spent summers in Japan, cheaper and happier, because mm-hmm. the summer resorts in China chiefly occupied by Westerners, mm-hmm. expensive and contact rare. Mm-hmm. So in Japan, it's at home uh-huh. and cheaper. As a professor, I could get train, passage, uh-huh. 10% discount. Oh. That's the old tradition. Uh-huh. Whether you're Chinese or Japanese, Korean, you get 10% discount.
If you are a professor.
Yes.
I see. So you mentioned that at that time you met this professor from Harvard University. That
yes,
helped
yes,
you greatly.
Dr. Eaton, yes.
Dr. Eaton?
Eaton,
okay.
Yeah. His specialty is genealogy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So his publication of Eastern Canada, Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. To this day, a few years ago, I was in Quebec, Montreal, and they remember this name. He contributed greatly.
Uh-huh. And so did Professor Eaton actually
he didn't teach me. He had retired. Mm-hmm. But I have three professors. One is Professor William Ernest Hocking. Mm-hmm. The second, Ralph Barton Perry, who was disciple of William James. Hocking was disciple of Josiah Royce. Mm-hmm. So we have a Josiah Royce Hall in UCLA. Mm-hmm. And also Professor Hocking taught a year here. So my old professor, so we associate happily because my fiance and I, we cook Chinese food at Professor Perry's home, especially at Professor Hawking's home.
So your fiance at that time joined you?
She was living in an apartment. Uh-huh. I was in a dormitory.
Right, but she was
Working on her MA master degree uh-huh. On Eugene O'Neill.
Uh-huh, I see. So after you got the degree from Harvard?
From Boston University.
Boston University. I'm sorry.
Because they treated me so royally, I felt I should, and also the major professor. Mm-hmm. And also at Harvard I had a semester with Professor Alfred Noyes Whitehead, world famous mathematician who taught Bertrand Russell.
So
I have his letter admitting me to his seminar.
Special seminar.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you got a PhD degree from?
From Boston
University.
I wrote on John Dewey
uh-huh.
of Columbia. Uh-huh. I went to Columbia to attend his seminar. And also, he was very kind to me. Every morning, I met him at his home, 42nd Street, New York. And we get on the double-decker bus to 125th. We stop at a Chinese restaurant called Shanghai Garden or something. We, from noontime, we talk until 2:30 or 3. I said, Professor, the waiters want us to vacate so they can have their meal or clean up. Mm-hmm. So we went away.
Uh-huh. So you
one time we were too early, so we rode the bus back and forth.
I see.
So I have his photograph and many letters by John Dewey. This became very valuable
sure.
to the history
sure.
of education, history of American thought.
Yes.
So I have a collection of 95% of his books, and I have letters.
Oh.
I have not given the letters or portraits and the books away yet.
Oh, that's it's valuable, the treasure. Yeah.
I have letters from Hawking, from Perry, from Whitehead.
So you collect all the letters. presume.
Yes.
Books.
Yes.
Yeah. After you got the PhD degree,
yes.
What did you do?
Yes. First, the Boston University mm-hmm. wanted me to share a chair of foreign missions. In the process of decision, then a man by the name Jimmy Yen, Yen, Y-E-N, Jimmy Yen, who started the mass education movement in China. So he persuaded me to join him to go back to China. So I did.
What year?
1929. Fortunately, I did that, because the depression came and all foreign employees, I mean staff in the University of Boston or anywhere mm-hmm. would be dropped. Mm-hmm. So then I met a Mr. or Dr. W.P. Guo, mm-hmm. W.P. Guo, Guo, K-U-O, mm-hmm. W. Guo, head of the China Institute in America, mm-hmm. the head. So he arranged two things for me. Mm-hmm. One is to go to southern states of America to see the improvement for the colored people. Mm-hmm. So I went to Tuskegee Institute mm-hmm. in Alabama mm-hmm. and stayed in Dorothy Hall, given by a Mr. Philip Stokes, mm-hmm. and I had 3 weeks free service. Then I had every day together with Dr. George Washington Carver, the chemist, mm-hmm. great chemist. He was professor in Grinnell College of my professor Hawking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see.
So, and then David Washington, Booker T. Washington's son, chauffeured me around through most part of Alabama to see the colored people's condition and the reasonable new improvement. And then Mr. Moss, M-O-S-S, his father was the B&O railway station, railway head. He was a chemist. He happened to be studying with Dr. George Washington Carver how to make use of the peanut shells mm-hmm. for cellophane to contain peanuts, roasted peanuts. Mm-hmm. For that company, he was the chief chemist. Mm-hmm. So he invited me to go to Columbus, Georgia. Mm-hmm. I went with him. And then I visited Fort Benning. Outside of Columbus, was a great treat to see the Chinese peanuts and also some local products made into bags and so on. And their description is that you can drink peanuts
uh-huh.
and so on.
Uh-huh.
When I left Georgia, Columbus, and they gave me 25 pounds candy, peanuts, and all sorts I carried back to Boston.
Ah.
Meanwhile, I stopped at Atlanta, Georgia, to visit a friend, Dr. Willis J. King, president of Gaymon Theological Seminary, a colored individual, whom I met 1922 World Conference of Students mm-hmm. in Peking.
Mm-hmm.
My fiancé then entertained a group, mm-hmm. including especially Dr. Willis J. King.
Mm-hmm.
So we became acquainted, though my fiancé, later Mrs. Han, suffered all the white elements in Peking almost ostracized her, say, oh, you entertain the color and all these foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when I go there quite often to see her at
mm-hmm.
her place.
Right.
So, but anyway, this Willis J. King, we talked at the station. So I had a few hours Then a student of mine from UCLA graduated. I know he was a communist. One day I censured him. I said, "Now the report, 20th Century Far East, I require them to make paper magazine clippings, ask questions or make judgment, comments." But he, everything cursing the nationalists, mm-hmm. praising the communist elements. Uh-huh. I said, "Well, your language is wrong. Your position, I wouldn't question you. You have your right." I said, "If you use this language again, you should resign from my class." Mm-hmm. I said, "If you are really honest, sincere, good, I cherish you. You might even influence me."
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him a good talk. And then after, at the graduation, his wife also graduated the same year, same time. They both came to me. The wife said, "Mr. Han, you influenced my husband greatly. He stopped cursing me. He stopped abusive language."
Uh-huh.
And so he kissed her and thanked me. So we parted company. A week later, he telephoned me, see if I would recommend him for law school at Harvard University. I wrote strongly to Dean Pound, mm-hmm. Roscoe Pound, mm-hmm. and whom I chauffeured here uh-huh. when, every day when he was in Los Angeles,
uh-huh.
and when we started the law school at UCLA.
Ah.
So he was admitted. Mm-hmm. After that, he was appointed to Atlanta, Georgia, as labor relations.
Mm.
So I told him to meet Dr. Willis J. King. When he went to the campus, and they said, "Well, he had just been elected a bishop to Louisiana."
Mm.
So this they missed.
Uh-huh.
Then 1972, Dr. Willis J. King, bishop just about to retire,
mm-hmm.
We wrote to each other celebrating our 50 years friendship from 1922 in Peking,
mm-hmm.
student conference to his bishopry,
mm-hmm.
and my retired professorship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's something. Yeah.
That's just a side of human life.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
as a Chinese in the United States, I enjoyed the pleasure and certain heartaches, because when we first came, 1941,
mm-hmm.
we bought a house in Shivet Hills. We could not live there.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighbors had a big conference, collected money, hired a lawyer to oust us. The lawyer said if I were her gardener servant, I could stay there. It was her husband, no.
Mm-hmm.
So we also got a lawyer born in China who was one of the famous attorneys, David Ferris, and later McIntyre Ferris, his brother. McIntyre Ferris later became the presiding judge of the Superior Court of Los Angeles. They were born in China.
Mm-hmm.
And David Ferris wrote to Secretary Cordell Hull, say, "Han holds a diplomatic passport. Is there any way that he could, he bought the house, he should be able to stay there?" Then the secretary answered, "China does not enjoy the most favored nation clause. If a Britisher or any other, no problem. But China doesn't enjoy that. So it cannot be treated with equal with the other nations, most favored nation clause in international law," which I taught 5 years at St. John's. So that was, we sold it. Then we rented a place for the duration of the war. The war came. Then that's very good.
First was in Silver Lake, did you say?
Paper?
Where was the house?
The house was in Shivet Hills. Shivet Hills.
Shivet Hills.
Yeah,
okay.
Shivet Hills.
Uh-huh.
That's very good. South of Pico, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Near the golf course or mm-hmm. the recreational center.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We lived on Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Manning.
Mm-hmm.
from the yard. I always like higher places. I could see Mount St. Mary's and UCLA towers.
How long?
From a yard.
How many years did you actually stay in that house?
Stay in the house 3 months. We resold it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we rented it in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
That was very happy occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove car, and still bus is very convenient near Doheny, you see. During those 5 years, well, that's maybe irrelevant, you see. The medical expenses or what other expenses are not relevant.
Oh, it's
sure. I went through the appendectomy,
mm-hmm.
and at California
mm-hmm.
Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, for 11 weeks, Mrs. Han was in the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
Good Samaritan is an Episcopal affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
We both taught at St. John's, was also Episcopal.
Mm-hmm.
So $10 a day, they charge only $9.
Oh.
A year later, we went to see friends at Good Samaritan, the same room,
mm-hmm.
seventh floor, number 14, and it cost $35 to $50.
Oh, I see.
Now,